racing in the old bayou. Find your favorite fishing boat. Find out where's the next honey hole. Only on the Top Rod Fishing Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry, your host, and Ricky Watkins. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Tony.
And as always, at Kane's Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show, where you can receive it on FM 107.5 and AM 1240. And, you know, Rick, if it wouldn't be for these people, we wouldn't be here this morning.
You're right, Tony. Good morning to everyone. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Doyle's Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, the Quarter Tavern, and Home Run Pizza. Okay, Wait until Tony to come back to get it right.
Yeah, I had to jump and just get some notes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rick, basically, you know, what's taking place right now in freshwater and saltwater fishing?
Tony, Rick? I spoke to a couple of my buddies still in Toledo Bend. They're catching some sockeye on drop-offs from 15 to 30 foot of water. The fish are starting to bunch up. The weather's getting a little cooler. And then I heard a good report coming out of the Chaffalau Basin. The water's starting to fall now around Bow Bayou. I seen a good catch of sockeye. I say good, about 30 sockeye, they were nice. 10, 11 inch sockeye is pretty good size sockeye.
It is.
Yep. And the basins right now is probably around 4'8". It'll hit 4 foot in a couple of days. So it's coming down on a good clip, and the fishing should get back good.
You know, Rick, you know, there was, and I forgot to tell some people, there was a lunar eclipse last night. It was early, yeah. Early in the morning. It was like in our area, I think from 1 o'clock maybe to 5 or 4 o'clock. But it was one. It's the longest lunar eclipse, meaning the time it takes for the shadow of the Earth to pass through the moon.
Right.
It took, I think, anywhere from 3 to 4 hours, and it's the longest one in 600 years.
Right.
And my question to you, since how does that affect any effect on fishing, anything like that? Of course, not many people would be bass fishing at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, well, if it darks out, you know, it would probably be.
Well, it's a full moon last night.
Yeah.
Or close to it.
Right. But, you know, it just depends on how dark, you know. If it gets darker, it probably would be tougher. But the lighter it is, it should be good, you know.
Yeah, just curious to see if you'd ever, you know, because I'm sure we have a lot of partial lunar eclipses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But not the one that lasted this long.
Right.
Anyway, like you said, still catching some specks out at the point and all.
Yeah.
And doing pretty well at that. And I know you haven't done much fishing, if any, at all in the lakes.
No,
you've been over in Sharonton,
yeah,
in that area.
Miette Point has been the place, Tony. Like I said, the last couple of weeks the water had came up, but now it's going back down. I may try to go today. I'm kind of getting, Tony, to where I used to like to fish by myself a lot, but the older I get and you see all of this stuff happening on the water,
well,
and you know,
kidding.
If you're by yourself, it's not really good to be out there by yourself.
Yeah, especially, yeah, if something goes wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and that water's starting to get cool, you know, it's cooling down. Yeah. So, you
and
know.
You know, a lot of the people we see that have mishaps are older
yeah.
people
mm-hmm.
that think they've fished this long. I'm experienced fishing and I don't
have
my jacket on. And,
yep.
Lo and behold, whatever it may be, hitting a log in the water or knock you over the boat.
That's
anyway.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Just a lot of reasons to wear that life jacket.
Yep. And so. Right now with the basin falling, Tony, which, you know, I know pretty much where all the sandbars are, but, man, you're going to, now that it's coming back down, you're going to have to be real careful, you know, where you're running, like you said.
Oh, you're right about that.
Because it stops you dry, and it will throw you out of the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if
oh,
you, you know, if you're not careful.
Oh,
you know.
It doesn't take much either.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, Rick, how about our bait of the day? What you got, my man?
Tony, I went to the bait shop the other day. I had to go run some errands and pick up some product in Lafayette, so I stopped. And I needed a couple of new baits. And I like these little humdingers I was showing you and Jeff earlier.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I got two different colors. I bought four baits. And the reason that being, and I was asking you, you know, if you knew why they were separate, you know, different colors. And the reason is, Tony, with the white chartreuse and the blue, that's good for tinted, you know, not to say muddy, but tinted water. Now, when you go to clear water, like pond fishing in our pond, or you go to in the basin, you have some clear drains coming out of the swamp, and the water's real, real clear. I find that the white does better, you know, so that's why I was telling you I had those two different colors, you know, because sometimes the color does make a difference, you know. But anyway, it's put out my humdinger. Now, these little dudes are a little pricey. They're probably about $5 tax in, you know. But you're talking about a good bait, Tony. I catch a lot of fish on those.
Well, I even noticed, too, with the bait is that Yeah. One had both of them had gold.
Right.
And each one had a silver and one had a gold.
Usually you put silver with your white. It gives it that white. They think that's a shad, and it gives it that little extra sparkle or flash, should I say.
Yeah, and I know you're big on with the green chartreuse. Yeah. You like to use that a lot, you know, because the fish just seem attracted to that.
Right. You know, I fish a lot of, not to say, like I said, Tony, not to say muddy water, but stained water that that chartreuse green and blue is hard to beat in stained water.
Yeah, it's, of course, and like you said, a little pricey at $5, you know.
Well,
but,
but you can catch probably, I don't know, until you run into a big old shoe pick and he'll bend up your bait. You can probably catch 15 or 20 bass on that bait. So,
well, that and it makes a big difference too, Rick. So, if you want to do a little better, you got to spend a little more. That's almost right with anything, you know, in that regard.
And through the years, that's been a proven bait.
Yeah. So back to the red snapper. Today, the Louisiana, or yesterday, they released the, for the first time, usually we get it after we finish the show, they'll send out the press release. But this one was updated, and the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries released the latest private recreational red snapper landing estimates through November 7th. Of course, she got a week lay and then a week layover when they put out since about 2 weeks back. But the L.A. Creole and the Department of Wildlife Fisheries real-time landings data collection program indicated that it's a little under 700,000 pounds with 696,000 pounds, or about 85% of Louisiana's 2021 annual private recreational allocation of 816,000 pounds.
Okay.
And, basically it started back in September 24th. Both in the state and federal waters, and I don't think we're going to hit our limit this year, Rick.
I don't think so. With the storms, Tony, like you said, that kind of slowed everything down.
Sure did, and so it looks like the program is going to continue to the 31st. Of course, the commissioner has the opportunity to stop it when he pleases when the numbers get too close. So, and let's see how some quick math here. We're looking at as of November 7th now. And last week, I think it was 684,000. So in a week, they took in about 12,000 pounds of red snapper. Yep. So, 12,000 each week. And then with duck season cranking up really in that end of the country, in the eastern zone, you're not going to see a lot of fishing right now way out. But there will be some. So a lot of the snow bunnies come down here to fish, there's no fishing up there in the area. So, interesting, though, Rick. It looks like it's going to make it through the year, and I'm curious to see what next year brings us with regard to what we're now to do. Elsewhere, I want to remind boaters, too. The Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery wants to let motorboat registration fees during the 2021 legislative session. Changes were made to the motorboat registration fees starting this past Monday, November 15th. The motorboat registration fees will change to the following simplified fee structure. They're looking at a boat length. So if your boat length is 15 foot or 11 inches or less, it's $36. 16 feet to 25 feet and 11 inches, so 26 feet, $57. 26 feet to 39 and 11 inches, 39 feet, 11 inches, $78. And 40 foot or more, $99. So any motorboat registration application received by the department postmarked before the 15th will be accepted and processed with the previous fee structure. For the motorboat registration inquiries, you can call the contact number 225-765-2898, and you can find that on the website. And for a complete review of the changes to all boat registration, commercial, recreational licenses, I'm going to talk about that in a moment, commercial registration, you can go to the website and pick up all of that, Rick. So just to let people out there know, you got new motorboat registration fees, so that's important. Elsewhere, the department also with that, the fishing license sale locations and dates for the commercial license fee structure. However, due to changes enacted, again, the legislature this past summer, some licenses are not eligible for renewal. And those not eligible for renewal must be purchased in person or by mail. This is commercial license applications. And in an effort to assist the commercial fishermen, the business owners to obtain their commercial licenses, the department will offer a sale of new commercial fishing licenses and renewal to the following locations. And with us, it's in Lafayette on Dulles Drive at $200 Drive at the office there. and acceptable forms of payment will include personal checks, cashier's checks, money orders, and cash. And to avoid processing delays, those purchasing licenses are asked to bring their license renewal notices with them. So a lot going on with that, and don't know how many commercial fishermen we have in this area, but when you go to the Delcom and Intercoastal City and those areas,
yeah,
there are a lot of shrimpers and people of that nature. So
yes,
that comes into play, Rick. So, but for the individuals,
few changes.
Yep, yep. And so for you people with boats, you know, you got to look at the footage, and that's how they are separating the fees this year in that regard. So some important information for people, you know, Rick, in that regard.
That's
so
right.
Anyway, I'm also looking at, it says here, for this is commercial, for first-time applicants can apply by mail or in person. The following documents must be provided. So you got to go to the website. It's a whole list of things you need to do,
right,
whether it be your driver's license, voter registration card, vehicle registration, state income tax. You got to prove you're a resident. So, and you have to be here for at least continuously for 12 months. So that's important for a lot of these commercial people. So in that regard. So and I have a little detail here about licenses that are not eligible for renewal. In other words, that's the commercial, the residential commercial vessel license. Any individual business has more than one licensed vessel will not be able to renew a vessel license. Those individuals need to apply for the new license of each vessel.
Okay.
Senior commercial fishermen, any individual has a senior commercial license will not be able to renew their license. Each individual will have to apply for a new license and will be required to purchase a necessary gear license. And individual gear licenses, that's for the these licenses are examples, the crab drop net, hoop net, slat traps, eel pot, minnow trap, can, pipe, bucket, flounder gig, set net, dip net, etc., have been streamlined into two gear licenses other than freshwater gear and saltwater. So except for oyster gear and crab trap, a lot of things you need to go to that website and pull it up and look at it. And the retail dealer licenses, these licenses have been consolidated with the wholesale license. Retail dealers will be able to renew online, but will have to obtain a wholesale retail dealer's license. So, man, I don't want to say what I'm giving you information that you need to look it up and check it out. That's right. And I'm not going to say one way or another because I'm not looking to expose myself.
That's right.
Well, he said that on the radio. Yeah. No, I'm not interested. You better go to the website and make sure you got the proper information and all in that regard, Rick. You know how important that is, because I guarantee you those agents have been grilled and they know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting you know. You know, and you can't use ignorance for changes in the law. So anyway, I just wanted to mention this. They had a solid showing, the Louisiana angler Wade Roberts, at a national high school championship qualifier, finished eighth in the BBZ Junior Championship World Field held up in Missouri. The 54 angler field was challenged to bring the heaviest bass they could in 8 hours on the water. Roberts' entry was 2.88 pounder. A guy from Loveland, Colorado, won with a 5 pounder. Then we just talked about the Red Snapper haul, which is right at about 700,000 pounds. We still have a little over about 120,000 pounds to go in that regard. So quickly, before we take our first break in a few minutes, you know, the Eastern Zone is cranking up. So for you duck hunters, and the 20th to December 5th, the regular season on the Eastern Zone. Of course, the Western Zone has been open since the 13th.
Yeah.
So that's our zone here. I think I think the line follows about where, is it 165, right through, from Ruston down, and then it travels through I-10. So it used to have three zones. There are only two now, East Zone, West Zone. You need to look that up and check that out, you know, on the zones. Your ducks, six may be, if you have six ducks, may include no more than four mallards, no more than two of which may be female, three wood ducks, two canvasbacks. Of course, you can just have six ducks now. Two canvasbacks, two redheads, one mottled duck, one black duck, one pintail. Only one scoop may be taken in the first 15 days of the season, two per day allowed for the remainder. So a lot of opportunities for these guys. And also, what you have in your possession is three times the daily bag limit. And I know these duck hunters are itching tomorrow when they crank everything up on the East Zone. So, again, check your website. Make sure that you have all the proper info and all in that regard. So it's pretty important, too. Anyway, with that, Rick, let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Kane Radio, FM 107.5 and AM 1240. We'll be back with more on the Fishing and Hunting Show right after this.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Tonight, it's the Bad Boys. Saturday, the 80s Experience. And on Sunday, the Steve Adams four-piece trio. Remember, never a cover at the Quarter Tavern. 19 TVs has you covered for sports, and no bar has more outdoor seating. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours now. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 5 to 8. And then on Thursdays, 3 to 6, most drinks are half price during happy hour. Follow them on Facebook for the monthly calendar and daily pop-up specials.
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dahl's Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dahl's Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511, license number 6286.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulic serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the Kane Fishing and Hunting Show.
Everyone loves pizza, and everyone loves a home run. Put them together, and you have Home Run Pizza. And yes, right here in New Iberia, located at 3816 East Old Spanish Trail, it's New Iberia's newest takeout pizza, and delivery is available. Dough is made fresh each day, and you get an assortment of toppings. Try the Grand Slam, the Double Play, or Mr. Meaty. They're all home runs at Home Run Pizza. 256-5783. That's 256-5783.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane 107.5, AM 1240, and streaming at Kane1240.com.
Welcome back to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry along with Ricky Watkins. And you know, Rick, the State Wildlife and Fisheries Waterfowl Study, they did some estimates on the 11 species of ducks along with the coots in Louisiana southwest and southeast coastal regions and on Catahoula Lake, which is north of us.
Yeah.
And during aerial surveys, which were conducted about 10 days ago, and a few of them, I want to say, on their markings here, fewer than 1,000 in the survey. But pretty interesting on the dabbling ducks. In the southwest portion, mallards, they had about 18,000 mallards, 8,000 model ducks. Gadwall was 168,000. That's a gray duck for you people. Wigeon, the 6,000. Green-winged teal, 102,000. Blue-winged teal, 253,000.
Okay.
Shoveler, 93,000. And the pintail, 78,000. And that was in the southwest our area. And in the southeast, the numbers were a lot less, 2,000 for the mallard, 10,000 for the model. The great duck gadwall was 72,000, 16 for the wedgeon, also 1,000 for the green-winged teal, 36,000 for the blue-winged teal, and the shoveler was 6,000, the pintail was 15,000. So some pretty interesting numbers there, and they came up in the southwest side, which, you know, when you start going out to Gaydon, the Kaplan area, and Lake Arthur, further east into Cameron, there are a lot of flyways up in that area, especially with the geese and the goose. 726,000 ducks compared to the southeast of 158,000. So, you know, wonder if the storm had maybe something to do with that. I'm really not certain.
I'm sure you did, Tony. I probably rearranged I was listening to Don Dubuque the other morning, and he was saying that how it rearranged some of the marsh, you know, the vegetation. So that's got to have, you know,
a play
in it.
And next year, hopefully, you know, with stirring up the marsh sand, with the greenery and all, hopefully you'll see some better results over in the eastern zone, which, you know, a lot of people, and like I said, the zone, I'm trying to remember if Calumet, the cutoff there, is in the eastern zone or the western zone. I'm not real certain about that. And since I'm not a big duck hunter, I got a lot of friends, and I think some of them at risk of divorce, to go duck hunting.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the diving duck area, so the scoop, there were 9,000 over in the southwest side. Ringnecks, 94,000. Canvasbacks, it was less than 1,000 they saw. And the coots were 32,000. For 103,000 with the diving ducks. Over in the eastern side, it was 3,000 for the scoops, 216,000 for the ringnecks. Canvasbacks were under 1,000, and the coots were 165,000 for a little over 377,000. So, anyway, some good duck hunting. The aerial views of the two zones, there was about 1.3 million ducks, the estimate. So, pretty good numbers, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so, and the water study group, along with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. So, some pretty good estimates on that. And all. Now, basically, the story here, of course, the Wildlife and Fisheries preseason estimates, as we were giving the three survey zones, the November 13th West Zone opened on the 60-day duck season, and the East Zone opens tomorrow, Saturday. The waterfowl study, as we mentioned, 1.3 million ducks in the southwest and southeast. And it also included Catahoula, but Catahoula didn't have that many ducks compared to the other areas. So, and it's the highest preseason total in 4 years, Rick.
Okay, that's
so that's what we were talking about earlier. You know,
good
so
numbers,
these duck hunters got some opportunities there. So, in that regard. So, also, and it's substantially higher. Last year was a little over 800,000 in the last November's estimate, but it's still lower than the average of the past 5 years. But it's better than that has been.
Yep.
And of course, the survey couldn't account for the cold front that blew through last Thursday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, despite Ida's path through southeast marshes in late August, both coastal regions showed an increase in bird numbers from last year. Estimates in the southwest and southeast are up 57% and 19%. So 87,000 birds on Catahoula Lake is marked by an increase of 12,000. So anyway, these guys have an opportunity. I know I talked to some people that hunt over, like I said, in the Calumet area, and then some over in the Grand Chenier area in Pecan Island. Yeah. So they were looking forward to it. I'm sure they're packed up and ready to go for tomorrow if they haven't left already. And they talked about Ida's damage in the southeast left 88% of the ducks and only 2 of the 10 lines in the flyover study. And the major impacts were observed in Terrebonne and Barataria Bays west of home and north of Grand Isle. Marsh damage decreased, and the bird numbers increased further east. The north of Burris submerged aquatic vegetation again was present in the isolated marsh ponds, and more protected from the wind and wave action. The mouth of the Mississippi River looked virtually non-impacted by Ida. Amazing, huh?
Yep.
So, you duck hunters, man, they're out there. Just make sure you have enough, and you obey the rules, what you can take and what you can't take. Because I guarantee you the agents are going to be out there looking and surveying.
Oh, yeah.
So just be careful, you know. And you certainly don't want to break one of the rules, because they just take the pen and pencil out and start writing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I laugh, but I laugh in jest, because some of those guys.
The old schoolers, Antonio.
Oh, you're right about that. You're right about that. Anyway, so we'll see what takes place in that regard and all. So the next big issue that I want to bring about is that the virus found in deer in 4 states.
All right.
And there weren't states around here, but as if needed, we needed more scares. But the latest from the U.S. Department of Agriculture is inspectors found that the COVID virus in white-tailed deer in 4 states, Illinois, Michigan, New York, and Pennsylvania. And I know your son was up in Illinois.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's been saw any of that with regards to the virus found in the deer up there.
No, I'm going to have to get with Bo, Tony, and see.
Yeah. anyway.
They should be on their way back today or tomorrow.
Anyway, so it's something to keep an eye on, too. And LaCour told Isaacs that the virus doesn't appear to be present in our deer herds, and that evidence so far suggests it's not a significant threat to humans. LaCour further suggested an abundance of caution be taken during the hunting season, that hunters should use disposable gloves when handling any deer respiratory organs. And the USDA reported that COVID antibodies were found in 33% of the 481 samples in those four states. So that's kind of amazing, man, you know, with COVID in these animals, you know. So anyway, the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service report also said that an unknown source of the virus in the deer, and it was possible they were exposed to people, the environment, or other deer or other animal species. There was also no evidence to suggest animals, including deer, playing with a significant role in the spread of COVID to humans. And in the two-page info sheet can be found on the USDA website under questions and answers, results of the study on SARS and COVID-2 in the white-tailed deer. So kind of amazing there, Rick, huh?
Yeah.
You know, they're finding COVID in a deer animal, and you know, up in those states, especially up in that northeast part of the country, man, deer are so prevalent. They might have more deers than cars.
That's right.
Because of the accident ratio up there, if you hit a deer, they can put a big damage in your car.
A lot of damage.
And not only that, they in the accidents you're in, or you trying to dodge one, could kill you yourself.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of accidents up there. They take the lives of humans trying to dodge deer.
Yeah, they sure do.
And especially Ohio, that portion of western Pennsylvania, and I'm sure up in Michigan, those areas out in the countryside.
They have a lot of deer up there, Tony. And when they jump out in the road, it happens so quick, you know.
I can remember coming back from one night from Shreveport and deer eating on the side of the road at night, you know, and just, man, I was praying he wouldn't jump out.
Yeah, you never know when something spooks them. That's what
happened. That's right. And I said, oh, please. Well, three of them.
Yeah.
One a big buck, too.
Yeah.
I'm going, I mean, right there on the side of the, Interstate 49.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, elsewhere, like we are preaching this morning earlier, agents arrested Jonesville man for deer hunting violations in Catahoula Parish.
All right.
Of course, that's up along the river up there north of Baton Rouge. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents arrested a Jonesville man for alleged deer hunting violations in this is November 13th, so this last week. Agents arrested a 55-year-old of Jonesville for hunting deer during illegal hours, hunting deer using illegal methods, failing to comply with deer tagging requirements, and hunting without hunting and big game license. The alleged was booked in the jail up there. Agents received a complaint that night, the 13th, that someone that shot a deer after legal hunting hours near Pawhams, and agents responded to the scene of the complaint, made the contact with the individual. Agents learned that the alleged shot 4-point deer with his rifle, night scope, and well after legal shooting hours without required licenses or tags. And, of course, folks, here it comes, the big part. Hunting deer during illegal hours brings a $900 to $950 fine, up to 120 days in jail. Hunting deer with illegal methods carries a $250 to $500 fine, up to 90 days in jail. Failing to comply with deer tagging requirements brings another $100 to $350 fine, 60 days in jail. Hunting deer without a basic hunting and big game license carries a $50 fine, 15 days in jail for each offense, and the alleged may also face civil restitution totaling over $1,600 for replacement value of the illegal deer taken. So, folks, you know, Ricky, as well as I do, and they're on the water, too, so don't think that you know, they're only looking for a deer, right? Deer hunter and duck hunters right now. They're looking for people who break the rules in fishing.
Right.
And, Rick, I know you see them out there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They're very prevalent.
Yeah. In fact, if I go today, they'll probably be with the, you know, hunting season just open. And, it's coming up tomorrow in a certain area over there, Tony. So they'll probably be out there today, yeah.
Yeah, and it's something, too. So, folks... Yeah. Man, just, you know, it doesn't take a long to go through the wildlife website and just make sure you've got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted and that you've got all the licenses you need. And, you know, even with fishing licenses, and you're on that borderline where you're fishing between fresh and saltwater, Rick, you know as well as I do, in that brackish water, you better make sure you have both licenses of the combo there in that regard. And that could cost you, I don't know, $30 or so. And, of course, next year at this time, whenever you buy your license, if you've been listening to our show, that whenever you buy your license, it'll be good for 1 year, the June 30th expiration date we've seen for the past, I don't know how many, decades. You know, but now you'll buy your license, say, May 1st, and it's going to be for a year, but it's not enacted to June 1st, I think, the coming year, so 2022. So a lot of changes out there, and the website that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries done is really easy. You got to negotiate through some of it. A lot of information in there for you, and especially if you're a novice, you can get in there and look at that information and just make sure. I printed, to be very honest with you, make sure you cover all your bases, Rick.
That's right.
Anyway, the tides for this weekend, the 19th today of November, the sun rose at 6:36, set at 5:11 in the high and low tide chart. The first high tide was at 1:18 this morning. You could have watched the lunar eclipse at that time, too, if you were looking fishing. Yep. And the high tide at 5:21 this evening. The first low tide will be at 9:10 this morning. The next low tide at 10:29. The 20th tomorrow, 6:36, sunrise, 5:10, sunset. High and low tide, first high tide will be at 1:09 a.m., the next low tide at 6:02 p.m. Saturday evening. First low tide Saturday, 9:37 in the morning. Next low tide Saturday evening, 10:49. On Sunday, the 21st, sun will rise 6:37, set at 5:10. The first high tide will be at 12:52 a.m. that Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Next high tide at 6:47 that evening. And the only high tide of the day that Sunday will be at 10:07. The average water temperature, southwest past Vermilion Bay, crispy, 65 degrees.
Chilling,
man.
It's coming down.
Oh, it is, Rick.
Yeah.
It is, man. And you know as well as I do, make sure you bring plenty, keep warm. You ever have to go into water for whatever reason, man.
Yeah.
Hypothermia is a serious condition
now. Right, Tony.
Anyway, Rick, as always, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these fine people.
You're right. We got to thank our sponsors, Tony. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, The Quarter Tavern, and Home Run Pizza.
And our motto is always, Rick,
kids that hunt and fish don't steal and deal.